This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Police clear the encampment at a major university after protesters shout, "Kill the Jews." That was at the Northeastern University campus in Boston. In addition to that, we're hearing stories about UCLA and massive riots, dangerous people getting injured, and the police not there for at least 2 hours as they destroy one another. At Harvard, protesters take down the U.S. flag and raise the flag of Hamas. In Sydney University, there in Australia, young children chant, "Israel is a terror state," on a family excursion there. The question, though, is who is behind the anti-Semitic protests in the U.S.? I would actually change that question. The question isn't so much who is behind, but what is behind. What is behind these protests? If we're not willing to answer that question, the who makes no difference. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look not only at the protests, but we're looking at something much bigger. You see, the picture that we're looking at here is not an American picture. It's not even an anti-Semitic picture by itself. It is a global picture. It's much bigger than Israel and Hamas. It's much bigger than any of these things. In fact, why is it that Taylor Swift now has gotten a new album out mocking Christianity? Doesn't that have something to do with it as well? Indeed, it is. And she also has global influence, massive global influence, as a one-person billionaire through music. And so today we look at the bigger picture here on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And, you know, one of the things that concerns, in fact, one of the major things that concerns me is how limited our ability is or our willingness to look at things in the bigger picture. It's like saying you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see the forest for the trees. So everybody's looking at the little trees around. They're looking at the trees of attacks and spreading of this viral anti-Semitism across America's universities and then throughout other universities in the world. We see protesters shouting, "Kill the Jews." We see the conflict going on in Israel and the UN attempting to take Benjamin Netanyahu to court and charge him with crimes against the people through the International Court of Justice. It just everywhere. These friends all tie together. They're not separate stories. You can make them separate stories, but they're not primarily separate stories. They are globalist stories, and they reveal the real thing that's taking place. The spirit behind all of these is what we should be looking at, and we're not. One of the reasons we're not willing to look at it, and I say we, I'm talking about our country, our leaders, even our pastors, perhaps even we ourselves, we're just not willing to see the real motivations that are behind all of this. Of course, we have this report. Iran nuclear weapons chatter suddenly becomes radioactive. Iranian officials have stepped up their open threats about coming nuclear breakout to acclimate the international community to the idea that an Iranian nuclear weapon is no longer taboo, which it was deemed out of the question. Now, it's not out of the question because of the latest bombardment by Iran, sending its 100 or more missiles and so on over to Israel. Then, in addition to that, we have the United Nations meeting at the General Assembly this very day, in which one author says the United Nations this year will make the biggest global power grab ever. You see, when he uses the word global, Now he's getting close to the real issue. The real issue going on here is not just something happening selectively in a variety of American universities. Yes, some people might say, well, this is not just being driven by our students, it's been being driven by outsiders. Yes, where are the outsiders coming from? What's their agenda? Why are the outsiders coming here? You see, nobody wants to really talk about the why of things happening. We're going to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and I hope you will stay tuned. Again, it's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And so we go first. We know all about the various encampments around the country, 20-some universities now, and it seems to be continuing. We know about all of that. You hear it. You see the displays. It's easy to promote those kinds of things on national news because it gets your attention, and it's very dramatic, and it gets people all stirred up. And I'm not happy about it either. I don't think any of us are happy about it, but why is it happening? What is the ultimate purpose behind it? What force is driving this anti-Semitism? What force is driving the persecution against Christians? Why did Taylor Swift mock Christianity in her latest musical? Why is it that a persecution watchdog now is warning of growing hostility to Christians in the United States? I have that article right in front of me. It's everywhere. It's not just the Jews, it's the Christians. Today I picked up a poster of the cover of our new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And it's quite dramatic. It'll get your attention. Today also I received the first endorsement, this one coming from Dr. Robert Jeffress, the senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He said, I'm convinced we're in that season known as the last days or the end times. One of the most serious issues confronting the church is the warning by both Jews and his apostles of mounting persecution. This epistle by Charles Chrismeyer desperately needs to be read and received so that Christians, parents, grandparents, and leaders can be prepared from the heart. Well, the heart of the matter is the heart, and the heart of the matter is what is actually driving these events throughout the world, in the United States, in England, in everywhere. Yes, in Russia. Why is it that Tucker Carlson interviewed a very well-known and controversial figure, a Russian philosopher, in the last couple of days, and stirred up a hornet's nest again in the world through that interview? What is it that that philosopher believes when he's become, shall we say, Putin's right-hand philosopher? Well, he believes that Russia is intended to, in a sense, rule the world. That's what he believes. He believes the West and its decadence should be destroyed. Russia should rule the world because it's the traditional, enforcing traditional values. What say you? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint to advance our conversation here today concerning what in the world is happening in our world. Actually, the global battle is increasing. The tensions are increasing globally at every level. Every level. If you were concerned about elections, now AI seems to be affecting the largest election in the world there in India. almost a billion people voting. It's unbelievable. But these things are happening everywhere. There's a spirit that is going on in our world to stir up animosity, to stir up anger, so as to accomplish one primary thing. And what might that be? What might that one primary thing be? To create a new global world order. To get rid of nationalistic governments and to install a new world order. Or two or three new world orders. Russia wants to install its new world order. China wants to install its. Russia and China, through the new BRICS organization, is seeking to create their one world order. The United States, through the EU and NATO, are seeking to create their one world order, which is highly resisted by Russia and China and by the BRICS nations that don't seem to get any value out of that. And then you have Israel. And you have the United States, the only two real, shall we say, democratic governments, Israel in the Middle East, and the U.S. Heading up what is perceived to be the current Western democratic one world order. These are in conflict now. And so people are fighting to get rid of Israel because it stands in the way of the new global order. And that's why this very day in New York at the United Nations, a speech was given by the ambassador from Israel, Mr. Erdogan. He said the UN cares nothing for Israeli blood. It's a collaborator with the Nazis of our day, working to ensure Hamas survival and even reward them for murder and rape. He went on to say the United Nations' hatred of Israel helped spark the new wave of anti-Semitism surrounding the Gaza war, including on American college campuses. This is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdogan. He gave a blistering speech that he delivered today at the UN General Assembly. He said, "You, addressing the UN, are the dream come true for every Palestinian terrorist that seeks to destroy Israel through diplomatic terror." He said, "This body reeks of anti-Semitism. It's everywhere." He's right, by the way. The chants of the pro-Palestinian rioters on campuses are calls for Israeli destruction. We always knew that Hamas hides in schools. We just didn't realize that it's not only in schools in Gaza, it's also at Harvard and Columbia and many elite universities in America. He compared the emergence of this new anti-Semitism in America's elite universities with the rise of Nazis in Germany, which until then had been the world capital of science and culture. History, he said, is now repeating itself. Elite universities, supposed bastions of liberalism and academia, have now become the breeding grounds for the most heinous racism and bigotry. The UN, he said, the General Assembly, the anti-Israel vitriol spread by this organization is what sparked what we're seeing today, he stressed. Well, I agree with that. But what is it in the United Nations that sparked it? That's what people don't want to talk about. Is it just anti-Semitism? No. Is it just anti-Israel in and of itself? No. Israel stands in the way of the new global order promised and promulgated by the United Nations. So does the United States. United States on the Security Council is there to be a, shall we say, a block or a control mechanism to keep the whole thing from completely going wild in a mobocracy there through the United Nations. But that's exactly what the intentions are. So at the same time that that gentleman, the ambassador from Israel, addressed the United Nations, immediately thereafter, the representative of the Palestinians addressed the United Nations, and here's what he said. The United Nations must grant membership to the state of Palestine and pressure Israel to end the Gaza war. He said, as we meet here today, that was today, Israel is still trying to push Palestinian people out of geography and out of history. By the way, that's not true. They're trying to push Israel out. Israel's been there for 3,000 years. Did you forget that? The Bible records all that history, going all the way back to King David, for instance, 3,000 years ago. An immediate ceasefire he called for, not to be delayed any further, and he accused Israel of massacring and torturing Palestinians. Well, whatever happened to the 1,200 that were immediately butchered and massacred when there was an existing ceasefire on October 6th? Why isn't that ever mentioned? You see, people have very short memories, and the reason they have very short memories in the UN and NATO and the Western nations that are coming against Israel is because they have a spirit agenda. They do not like Israel because Israel stands in the way of the globalist entity. So the Palestinian folk and Hamas use that known animosity that they can leverage then to gain what they want, which is actually not a two-state solution. They want to take over the entire area, geographical region called Israel. They say you have no right to exist. Whatever happened to that? Why isn't that being mentioned at the UN? Because it doesn't fit the agenda. The agenda is to destroy Israel, to push Israel out, to allow so that it can no longer stand in the way of the globalist, shall we say, tsunami that is sweeping the world. The Palestinian ambassador says the admission of the state of Palestine to the UN is an unequivocal signal that Palestinian self-determination and statehood are not subject to the whims and will be the extremists in Israel. Our admission to the UN is long overdue. On what basis? They have never been a people group. Historically, there is no such thing as a Palestinian people per se. And why is it that Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia and all of these and Syria, why is it that these other Arab nations do not want and refuse to allow these Palestinian folk into their countries? Why do you think that is? Why is it that Israel has to do this when it's already the tiniest of all the countries? It's because Israel cannot be allowed to exist. Because, again, the real reason is because Israel, as a God-fearing democracy, underlying God-fearing democracy, chosen people, must be eradicated in order for the new global enterprise to take hold. The same spirit is what is driving these same people against the United States. It is that spirit that is choreographing what's happening in American universities, which started back in the 1960s with the rebellion against authority. All of that, that same spirit now that was choreographed to upset the internal stability of this country as the leading Western democracy under God, had to be destroyed. And the intentions are great. And they believe, the forces in the world believe, that they are at the final moment to implement this new global arrangement. So we have the International Criminal Court now seeking to indict Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his top-ranking Israel officials as somehow enemies of the world and conducting themselves in vicious, unmitigated, irrational acts of genocide against the Palestinian. Well, whatever happened to that which initiated it? Benjamin Netanyahu says, you know what? We're not going to listen to the demands of NATO. We're not going to listen to the demands of the United Nations or of Antony Blinken coming from the Biden administration to tell us what to do. We're not going to do that. We're at the point where we must eradicate Hamas as best we can, and we're going to go into Rafah. We're going to eradicate them. If it takes 2 months, that's what we're going to do. We'll do everything we can to protect the so-called citizens there, civilian citizens in Gaza, even though 80% of them are in support of Hamas. We're still going to try to protect them as best that we can, but we are going to eradicate Hamas because their very charter calls for our destruction, not for a two-state peaceful solution. Are you beginning to get the picture? This is what we need to be talking about, but nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Because it stands in the way of the biggest move in world history, and that is the effort to completely change the entire world order. And that's what was called for by America's great globalist, George Herbert Walker Bush, in 1990, when he stood before the United States Senate and he called for the first time, allowed the words, the New World Order, to come out of his lips. And over 200 times during his administration, he called for the New World Order. Then, in 2016, when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were competing for the presidency of the United States, guess who the Republican 41st president of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, voted for? He voted for the consummate globalist Hillary Rodham Clinton. You see, this whole thing is not a matter of Republicans and Democrats. It's not a matter of, shall we say, Israel and peace. And it's not about those things at all. Those are just symptoms or tools that are being used to drive a much, much bigger agenda, one that is radically and totally contrary to God's word, will, and ways. And you'll find out about that if you went back to Genesis chapter 11 and God's outlook toward what they tried to do at the Tower of Babel. Now, according to the World Tribune today, May Day, the United Nations in this year will make its biggest global power grab ever. This article by Alex Newman says they want to control every aspect of your life. And it's true. They're telling us they're going to bring out radical, drastic reforms in the structure of the UN and the power of the UN. The biggest power grab ever at the global level. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has put out briefs where he is calling for the UN to be the one world global dictatorship with him at the helm. The UN would have all power and have all power to oversee all emergency response in the world. The UN insists that the crisis could be a climate crisis, economic crisis, environmental crisis, pandemic crisis, black swan crisis, or maybe something from outer space, or whatever they decide to call a crisis. And all authority would go to the Secretary General of the UN. The UN knows their time is short, he said, and they're going to the big enchilada here. This is really a summit for a tyrannical future. They want control of every aspect of your life. Israel and the U.S. stand in the way. Guess what has to happen? From their viewpoint, they've got to get rid of Israel and get rid of the U.S. or any power that we have. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, today we're talking about the real picture globally that is taking place, where all of these so-called riots and protestations and so on are happening all over our country and in other countries of the world, the Western countries, and why they're taking place. Look, to try to summarize this as best we can, these globalistic forces know that they cannot absorb the United States of America and obtain sufficient support within the United States of America and remove sufficient resistance without taking down our youth. They have to convert the youth, and the youth have been converted. We've paid for it. $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 a year by sending our young people to these colleges and universities. They have been indoctrinated by those who carry this same vision that America must go down and a new world order must rise up. That's what's happening. And it takes time because our country was very deeply involved, you see. The depth of the allegiance in this country was greater than in all other countries except for Israel, perhaps. It has to be destroyed. That's what they're doing. When they want to use DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's all about dumbing down, reducing everything of value and the beliefs, the intentions, the goals, the aspirations of America's young people, reducing them all to a common order so that nobody has any real aspiration or hope for the future. The economy consistently drops down, and therefore the country is capable of being absorbed easily or more easily into this new global order without resistance. These are the people, friends, that are being raised up to lead this country. Imagine that. Imagine what happened after the 1960s. Those same hippies that rebelled there became the professors in our universities and colleges. How do you think these things are happening? So if you think that these are just isolated things and this is just a little symptom of, well, you know, history repeating itself and that kind of thing. No, it's not that. History is repeating itself, but in an ever-increasing cycle to end up at a final event. And that final event is towards someone who will become king of the mountain. Now, who is that someone that ultimately the world will yield to become that great ruler who purports to be the great peacemaker of earth as opposed to Israel or the United States? It's the Antichrist, friends. That's where this is moving. And the world is going to cry out. The chaos is being created intentionally. Intentionally. It's not just happenstance. It's being created intentionally. And our young people in this country have no moral or spiritual foundation in which to think outside of the box of the new global order. That is their orientation. Therefore, they're easily seduced. You might want to provide a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, to your young people. College, high school students, you might want to use that book in your home. You say, well, what can I do about any of this? That's what you can do. That book helps people to understand the deception and the seduction that is taking place. It doesn't have to talk about attacks against protests and riots in our universities. It goes deeper than that, to our thoughts, how we look at issues. And quite frankly, it might well be, you might rather conclude, that it's one of the most relevant books you have ever, ever read, and you can use it right in your home. You can use it to conduct family conversations. Oh, I tell you, you will have conversations. You can't avoid it. It'll provide enough conversations for you for once a week for a whole year at least, maybe more. Seduction of the Saints. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, if you think, if you've convinced yourself there's nothing you can do, you've already failed. There's much that we can do. But it reminds me of a statement that was made by a former professor of mine when I first formed Save America Ministries in 1993. I ran into him at a large church across the street from my law office. And we had a nice little conversation. He says, Chuck, what are you doing these days? And I said, well, we just formed a nonprofit organization called Save America Ministries. And in his usual somewhat acerbic or sarcastic manner, he said, well, at least you didn't bite off more than you could chew. I mean, that's obviously, it sounds like a lot more than you could chew, because Save America Ministries, who's little old Chuck Christmeyer going to be or do to make a difference in that regard? Well, I never thought, had the idea that somehow I was ordained to be the ultimate guy to change America and to save America per se. Furthermore, my Christian professor, did not understand what the background was and the real purpose for Save America Ministries was. And it wasn't to restore a constitutional republic per se, or preserve an institution called America. It was to restore the people of this country. You see, we the people, that's America, we the people. America is not primarily the constitutional republic that we call America is the result or the consequence of a whole group of people going back for 170 years before that, who laid the foundation for what this country was to be. And then they established a government through the Constitution that would help to carry out the practical application to keep us civil with one another to accomplish those purposes. Like John Winthrop wrote in his Model of Christian Charity, before landing four boatloads of Puritans there in 1630. Or like William Bradford wrote there in the Plymouth colony, when they had no constitution and they wrote, in the name of God, amen. We're ordering ourselves according to a civil body politic in order to accomplish the goals in peaceful organization with one another that God has called us to do. That's what this ministry is about. This ministry is not about, shall we say, protecting a constitutional republic per se. It's about rebuilding the foundations that led to the even existence of the Constitutional Republic, which John Adams, our second president, said that Constitution is wholly inadequate to anybody who is not submitted to the authority of God and His Word. He said our government is made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That's why it's not working, because we're not a moral and Christian people anymore, even though we like to pretend that we are. We're not. Just this week, yesterday, I think it was, I was asked to speak at an event at our state capitol concerning the first landing, a remembrance of the first landing at 1607 in Virginia Beach, where they planted a cross and then sailed up the James River a few days later to the place of Richmond, where they planted a cross again. And that's where we air this program. And when I spoke, I said, our Constitution has no authority anymore. Its authority is waning in this country precisely because the real Constitution, the spiritual Constitution, the Bible, is not respected anymore, even in God's house. How do I know that? Because if it were, the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America for the past 20 years would not have exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%. Anybody listening? The word obey would not have become the most hated word in the church today. We don't like it. We don't want to do God's will. We want Him to do our will, but we don't want to do His will. And so the theme of this particular gathering was Appeal to Heaven. Well, it's a great name, a great title, came out of history. But as I said to the folk that were there, I said, you know what? That we're way beyond that now. We made our appeal to heaven for the past 50 years through national days of prayer, solemn assemblies, and so on, and we still didn't hear from God. We did not listen to Him. No, God is appealing to us. God is appealing to us and has been. That's what you might note is different somewhat about this program than other so-called Christian programs. God is appealing to us. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and not just pray, but seek His face. And He said, turn from my wicked ways. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to admit that we have any wicked ways. In the church, we want to think that it's all those guys out there. It's the protesters out there. It's Hamas. It's this, that, or the other. No, God says, it's my people. Why can't you get it? You might want to read the book of Jeremiah. And everywhere you see the word Judah or Israel put in America, you'll be shocked. Do it. Start today or tomorrow. Do it. Read the book of Jeremiah. Every time you see the word Judah, Israel, put in America. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The globalist war is rising dramatically. The heat is being turned up like frogs in the kettle, and the majority of people do not get it. Either we don't want to get it, or we just can't seem to get it. Our leaders don't get it. If they did, they would talk about it, unless they're just too scared to do it. Somebody has to talk about it, because it goes to the very heart of God's viewpoint. And if any viewpoint should matter, it should be God's viewpoint. So here on this program, we're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal viewpoint or perspective. So what is that? Well, the first thing that we know in summary is God is against globalism. He was against globalism in Genesis chapter 11. He's been against every effort that the world has ever made toward a globalist empire, and there have been many of them, some in the name of Christ and some otherwise. Islam is a globalist effort. That's why in Hamburg, Germany now, Islamists are crying for a German caliphate. That's right, a German caliphate. They're holding placards and posters reading, Germany equals dictatorship of values, caliphate is the solution, Palestine has won the information war, demonstrators chant Allahu Akbar. See, it's not just the U.S. The seeds of this are everywhere. So, Blinken, Antony Blinken, says to Netanyahu today, Israel must avoid further expansion of conflict. No. Benjamin Netanyahu says, no, we haven't finished the job, and we're going to finish the job as best we can to eradicate Hamas, because they intend to destroy Israel. They've already declared it. It's in their own founding documents. We're going to get rid of them. The rest of the world can't stand that, because they want a counterfeit peace. They don't want, they have no real concern about Israel. What they're concerned about is a new global order that promises peace on earth, goodwill toward men, ultimately through a counterfeit called the Antichrist. So you might want to get a copy of two books. One, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. It shows how this is all taking place. And then, that, by the way, you'll get that for $15 there on the website, King of the Mountain, one of the best-selling books we've ever had. It explains so much. And then following that, the book Antichrist. It's a $22 book. I can't remember what we're offering it for. I think $18 on the website, saveus.org. I urge you to get these books, because it will open your heart, your mind, to help you to see what is actually taking place and why. See, the why is the issue. If you don't understand the why, you're going to be confused. And now this article comes out and says, now it's the United States that gets caught persecuting Christians. Yeah, just came out yesterday. All these reports about persecution of Christians in China and Pakistan, Islamic nations, and so on. But now it's the West that's being called out. A report at Washington Stand explains that now international religious freedom organizations are monitoring religious freedom conditions in the United States. And it's easy to see why. Sadly, American culture is increasingly hostile to traditional Christian beliefs. We have it every. We don't have time to go into all the details of this. The Christians are refusing state demands that violate their faith, and in all cases, the state was summarily slapped down by the U.S. Supreme Court up till now. But it doesn't seem to matter, because the courts keep coming. I mean, these courts and prosecutors just keep coming after them. They're dedicated to destroy the Christian faith in this country. Why? Because the Christian faith stands in the true Christian faith. Sole allegiance to God through his son, Jesus Christ, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, stands in the way of the globalist agenda that there are many ways everybody has to get along and agree that there are many ways. And that, by the way, happens to be the New Age mantra of the cosmic Christ. What do New Agers believe? You'll find it in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Why do you think these books have been written? These books have not been written for my self-aggrandizement or to make money. No, they've been written to prepare God's people for what is coming. And it's almost as if we're in a trance. It's like we don't care. Do we? Now the United States caught up in persecuting Christians. If you want to find out more about that, then you're going to ultimately get a copy of my book, When Persecution Comes, coming out in August. It's gone to a typeset now. Talked to the gentleman yesterday. It's gone to typeset. And the goal is to have it out around the first part of August. And so we'll be letting you know. If you want to be part of the persecution project, people are still doing that, still coming on board, and I'm so grateful for that. If you want to be part of the persecution project, which means you can do something, you can have a part in making a difference to reach to people in your sphere of influence that the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart. A gift of $250 to Save America Ministries will enable us to get this going, and then we will provide to you 10 books. When they come out, 10 books, which you then will not sell, you'll be able to give to other people as God's hand extended through your hand to prepare them, because they're not prepared. Just like Dr. Robert Jeffress said in the endorsement that I read to you, it just came in today or yesterday. He said, God's people are not prepared. He said, I'm convinced we're at that season known as the last days of the end times. One of the most serious issues confronting the church is the warning by both Jesus and his apostles of mounting persecution. See, it's not just anti-Semitism, friends. Anti-Semitism is the shoehorn that's bringing in persecution. He says this epistle by Charles Chrismeyer desperately needs to be read and received so that Christians, parents, grandparents, and leaders can be prepared from the heart. You want to be part of that? Send a check to Save America Ministries, $250. You want to do $500, we'll provide 20 books to you in $250 increments so that we can keep it straight. And so send that check to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, make sure you put on the check. You don't add that $5 because that's already included. You're not going to have to $5 there. Put on the check, Persecution Project, or send a note with that. Now, you can go to the website, saveus.org, and sign up that way. There's a special place to sign up. Or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Now, interestingly, another article came out yesterday from the Christian Post. Persecution watchdog warns of growing hostility to Christians in the United States. People have not been willing to admit that. I was talking to my sister last night in Dallas, and she says, Chuck, I hear people say, mock the idea that Christians are being persecuted. Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by persecuted, but the Jews are being persecuted, aren't they? Why do you think the Christians are not next? I mean, even Tamar Yonah, the voice, the English voice of Israel and Jerusalem via her broadcast there in Israel, joined us here several weeks ago on this program. She's an Orthodox Jew, and she said, look, what they're doing for us today, get ready. It's the Saturday people now and the Sunday people tomorrow. You're next. You're not going to escape. Are you listening? I hope so. All right. Now let's go to another aspect of this globalist agenda. Two articles that came out, one yesterday and one today. Both of them by Daniel McCarthy. Yesterday, he said, globally, it's the dreaded nationalists who stand with Israel. And he's right. Those countries that are preserving a nationalist orientation are in favor of Israel for the most part. Those that are embracing globalism are against Israel. Now, why would that be? Then today, he sends another article. Democracy needs nations and nationalism to last. But they want to get rid of the nations. They want to get rid of nationalism. They said, that's passé now. We don't want any more of that nationalistic stuff. Why do you think, then, that they're accusing those who are in favor of Donald Trump as Christian nationalists? Friends, it's a pejorative label to say you're not part of the global agenda. Therefore, by definition, you as a Christian are the odd man out and have no place in the pursuit of world peace, and you must be removed from civil society. That's their view. Don't you think that view will ultimately pursue a result in significant persecution against Christians, yes, in the United States of America? Absolutely. Just as it is with regard to Israel, which stands in the way, the nationalist state that stands in the way of globalism there, the Semitic state, so the same with a Gentile state that stands in a similar position. They must be either removed from civil society or be brought down to where they embrace this new world global order. That's where things are. Believe it or not, 72% of Americans think and believe that Israel should press on to go into Rafah and take out Hamas, no matter what all of these protesters are saying. No matter what the university presidents are saying, no matter what Joe Biden is saying, no matter what Antony Blinken is saying as a Secretary of State, 72% of Americans believe that the only reasonable thing for Israel to do is to go in and complete the job, whatever the cost of taking out Hamas in the southern part of Gaza. Now, if you're one who has a false sense of compassion and you think that the 1,200 Jewish people that were butchered and murdered without cause and suddenly when there was an existing ceasefire, if you think they're to be disregarded because Israel has gone in now to clean out the Gaza Strip, where 80% of the people are supporters of Hamas, then you can have your feelings, your touchy feelings, but you're not facing reality. You're just not real. Even God commanded his people to go in and take out nations. God did that. Now, the latest article from Israel Today, have faith, ignore the world, and walk onto the water. In other words, you might be living in a modern Exodus story even as we speak. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. I hope this has been somewhat helpful to understand the bigger picture. The kingdom of God is moving forward. Are you moving forward with the kingdom? God bless. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.